The Lord is good, saints. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshiped. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's worthy to be praised. We're going to worship him one day with all the angels in heaven. One angel may call out holy, and another one may say holy, then another one may say holy. And somebody summarizes the Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Yes. We give him praise. Father, we come now, Lord, to that sacred part of this worship service, Lord, where we come to hear from you. Father, we are feeble and frail, but you are mighty and strong. Lord, you can help us to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Open our ears, open our hearts to receive the word of God today. We ask, Lord, for the filling of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that every person that is here today may walk out with hope, with encouragement, with understanding and meaning in life. May they not leave this place the same way they came in, because they've been in your presence today. If there be anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may they call on you today and make sure that they have a home in heaven. Lord, we commend this hour, this time to you. For it is in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you love to eat some rich food? I mean, some good tasting food. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God is like that. It tastes good. First, you got to get used to it. But once you get used to it, it's kind of like chitlins. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all still eat chitlins today. Am I right about it? Can I get one or two witnesses? And because you've tasted and you've developed a palate for it. But it's a rich food. Like sweet potato pie. Y'all know I like sweet potato pie. Eating rich and tasty food. When you eat it, you want to eat it slowly. You want to savor the flavor in the meal. Am I right about it? Well, today I want us to extract, if you will, all the nutrients that are packed in the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is a rich psalm. And oftentimes we read it and we just kind of know it and we kind of peruse through it and cruise, if you will. Sometimes we speed through it because we need to. But today I would like for us to take a slow walk as we graze through the 23rd Psalm. We want to extract from the journey with the shepherd all that we can learn in the next several weeks. Then I would like to return to the book of Acts with breaks in between so we can finish the book. Picture, if you will, David, King David, walking out under the stars at night on top of a hill. Picture David overlooking the shadowy places he once tended to the large flocks that his father owned. It was a common theme in ancient times for kings to call themselves shepherds of the people. They were called shepherd kings. But the truth of the matter is that David was a real and true shepherd king. Picture, if you will, David having nostalgic memories of each of the names of every sheep running through his mind, as if in an open field, the sheep free to roam. He remembers that one by one he counted the sheep, he bought the sheep, he anointed the sheep, clean and shaved and protected and cared for every sheep. He recalls the nights he served defending them from ravenous lions and bears. He finds himself in times where he led the sheep to safety and good pasture and clean, still, smooth, cool waters. David recalls the days of sacrifice as he and the sheep press on to find shade and shelter, enduring scorching hot days and stormy wet nights. No doubt he remembered the nights when one of his lambs wandered from the fold as he traveled for miles, calling and seeking and hoping to find a sheep that had wandered away. As David looked up at the stars in the sky and he considers the goodness of God in his own life, he ponders on how God anointed him as king, cleansed him from his sins, searched for him when he had gone astray, protected and delivered him from his own enemies. As the Lord forgiven anybody? Has the Lord cleansed anybody? Has the Lord searched you out when you had gone astray? Has he protected anybody from harm and danger? Has he kept you from evil and made a way for you out of no way? Has he done that for you? David came to the conclusion that it was God who provided for all of his needs. David came to the undisputed pinnacle of this revelation by stating that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? I really only have one point for you, but it has many subpoints, several subpoints. And we only have five words that we're going to focus on today. Just five. You can say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We want to extract every word in our text through the 23rd Psalm. We're going to just focus on five words. And in understanding the Lord is my shepherd, the thing that I want you to know is I want you to understand the characteristics of our shepherd. The characteristics of a shepherd in reference to the Lord himself. Notice what it says. It says, first of all, the Lord. I want to stop right there because it's important to extract what that means. The word Lord can be said in the Hebrew language or translated as Adonai. When we say Jesus is Lord, we say that he is Adonai. That means that he is the master of creation. That means that he is the master in control of everything. He is Lord. speaks to the magnitude of his person and the sovereign capability of his power. And because of this great magnitude of who he is and this sovereign power that he exercises according to his will on behalf of the sheep, we understand that the quality of the sheep depends solely upon the shepherd. The quality of the life of the sheep depends solely on the shepherd. And because we have a good shepherd, guess what? He said he's come to give us life abundantly. Life what? More abundantly. Because our life depends upon his character, his characteristics, his sovereign power. You say, well, what are you saying, preacher? What are the characteristics of the shepherd, who we call the Lord? First, he is an omnipotent shepherd. He is an omnipotent shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says he's the good shepherd. And in Hebrews 13 and verse 20, the Bible says he's the chief shepherd. That means that he is over all shepherds. He is the main one who has all control over the sheep, even the terrain in which the sheep journey. God has control over every situation, and he knows every hill. He knows every molehill. He knows every valley. He knows where the water is. He knows where the water isn't. He knows where the green grass grows, and he knows where there is barren and desert land. He knows all the issues and trials and circumstances in your life to navigate you by his sovereign power. He's an omnipotent shepherd. That means he's the master of the universe and sovereign Lord of all. He is the shepherd king of kings. See, David was a shepherd king. As I said, it was quite common in those ancient times for kings to call themselves shepherd kings. They wanted to let the people know that they were someone that they could put their trust in and that they would lead and guide them, that they would defend them as a shepherd would his sheep. Well, there's no greater shepherd than Jesus Christ, because why? He is the shepherd king of kings. He is sovereign in all his power. He's the master of the universe. And if he can control the universe, guess what? He knows how to meet you where you are. The moon orbits at an average distance of 240,000 miles or 380,000 kilometers from Earth. Now you do the math on that. The sun is over 100 times the diameter of the Earth. If it were hollow, if the sun were hollow on the inside, it could hold over, listen to this, 1 million Earths inside of it. The sovereign master of the universe, our shepherd king of kings. The one who created the stars in the heavens and the sun 93 million miles away. If we were to drive 65 miles per hour, or that is 105 kilometers per hour, it would take, listen to this, 163 years to drive the distance around. The sun. Let's start with the nearest star system to the Earth. I said he's the master. He controls everything. And let's start with the star system of the Earth besides the sun. That star system is called Alpha Centauri. It's called the Alpha Centauri system. The distance to this system is about, watch this, 25 trillion miles away to get to the nearest star system. And there are many more star systems beyond that star system. So many star systems that we don't have the ability to count the stars. With all our man-made machines and Hubble telescopes, I think they even got another one, a newer one, it's even more powerful than the Hubble telescope. And yet, that system, 25 trillion miles away, the Milky Way galaxy contains over 100 billion stars. The Bible says that God calls all of them by their names. He calls all of the stars by their name. He's Lord. The Lord. David said, I can't get past that, because when you think about that, he says if he knows every star by name, how much more important are you than the stars who are not created in his image? How much more does he know you by your name? He knows where you are. He knows whose you are. Yes, the Milky Way belongs to a cluster of a few dozen galaxies called the Local Group. Some clusters are much larger than the Milky Way galaxy. The Virgo cluster has about 20,000 galaxies of clusters of galaxies. Clusters of galaxies are organized into even larger superclusters and clusters of clusters. Our mind cannot comprehend. There is nothing in our world system that can regulate just the galaxies and the stars. You say, so why did I mention all this information? This is what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, bypassed in the heavens in order to get to you. Y'all didn't pick up what I just put down. He bypassed stars upon stars. He bypassed galaxies and clusters. He bypassed the moon and the sun that can fit so many Earths inside of it. And he came just because of you. Isn't that special? Doesn't that make you feel special? Doesn't that encourage your soul? You may be thinking that you are nobody. No, God says you are somebody created in his image. And even though you see yourself far from God, God says, I'm going to come near to you. Yes. This is what Jesus bypassed in the heavens in order to visit us on earth, in order to get to me, in order to get to you. We see his omnipotent power through his creative work and through all of creation, with each of us being his chief creation. Yes, the stars are nice, but they who are created in my image, what would I do for them? Where would I go as the shepherd king of kings? How will I lead my sheep, and how will I call others into my fold as the shepherd king of kings, as the one that they call Lord? Colossians chapter 1, Verse 15 and through 20 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. What I said is that he is Lord and that he's an omnipotent shepherd. If he's able to create everything that exists for his own purpose and for his own glory, can he not create a situation or circumstance for you to give him the glory? He's the omnipotent shepherd. The Bible says that he created things visible and invisible. The word that we use is that when God created, he created ex nihilo. He created out of nothing. He took the invisible and said, invisible, I see you. And because I see you, and I know you, and I created you, I'm going to take you invisible, and I'm going to use you to make something that is visible. Because I have that kind of power. Yes. He created out of nothing. The Bible says that whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Verse number 17 in that same passage says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That means everything is held together by the power of his word, by his omnipotent power as an omnipotent shepherd. And guess what? You may feel like you're falling apart, but by him all things in your life consist. And he's able to keep you together when everybody else is falling apart. If he can hold the world together, can he not hold your family together? If he can hold the world together, cannot he hold your salvation together? Cannot he keep it? Cannot he keep it intact? Cannot he keep your mind stayed on him? Isaiah said that in chapter 26. He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on him. And guess what? We need help to do that, because by him all things consist, are held together. He keeps me together. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind. I don't know about you, but we live in some depressing days. We've seen some sad things. And if it wasn't for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? We all would have lost our God-given good mind. Am I right about it? But he's keeping me. And I heard somebody say, he's keeping me alive. Why? Because he's all over me, and he created me, and he's keeping me. Yes. I wish I had a witness. In verse number 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. The church being he being the chief shepherd is the one who is the head of the church, of which are the sheep. He who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He left us an example in his own life, saying, because I rose from the dead, because I live, my sheep live. Because I live as an eternal shepherd, as an omnipotent shepherd, my sheep will live for all eternity. My sheep will have everlasting life. Wow. Did you ever see a sheep live forever? So many people sacrificing them, you wouldn't think so. The Lord. The Lord. That's all we're talking about. I haven't gotten to the rest of the 23rd Psalm yet. I'm just talking about the Lord. Since Christ made the universe, he knows how to guide us in it. I heard Charles Stanley say one day in a sermon that God will move heaven and earth to lead us into his will. God will move heaven and earth to move us into his will. I've given you some examples of a God would just work in the situations and in the circumstances down in the valley where the green grass grows. How God works with us and walks with us. I've given some examples when, as God was calling me to come to Virginia, I kept seeing Virginia license plates every time I pulled up to a traffic light. I would pull up in front of, or behind a car that had a Virginia tag. It got so bad, I started taking pictures of the tag and sending them to my wife. This was almost a daily occurrence. God will move heaven and earth to lead you into his will. He will move. You say, give me some biblical text for that. Well, let's think about the wise men. They were guided by the star of Bethlehem. Am I right about it? He moved heavens. He moved the heavens and orchestrated the heavens, called this system to do what he called it to do, so that they who were down on earth could follow and do his will. He'll move heaven and earth to get you into his will. Sometimes he moves people in order to get you to do his will. You say, give me some biblical background for that. Well, you remember Ruth, right? Ruth, she lost her husband. Am I right about it? But when she lost her husband, watch this, Ruth winds up going to Naomi back to Bethlehem. And you know the story. I talked about that before. Ruth marries Boaz. Boaz has a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. Jesse has a son named who? Which we, in whom we are talking about today, the Shepherd King. He moved heaven and earth. He moved some people. Listen, God will sometime move some people out of your life in order to get you to do what he's called you to do. And his grace is sufficient for that. He's the omnipotent shepherd. Since Christ brought forth the landscape of the world by the power of his word, he is able to change the landscape and the outcome of our desperate situations by trusting and having faith in his word. For the word simply spoke out of nothing the world into existence, and God can speak into your hopes and your goals and your dreams. He can speak them into existence, even though you don't see them being a present reality or even a future reality. God can say a thing to somebody, and somebody will show up on behalf of God to change your situation, the landscape of your struggle, the landscape of the peace of your mind. He can do it. Secondly, he is an omniscient shepherd. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6 says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Yes. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Yes. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Notice how many times it says he knows. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. In other words, David was saying, because God was omniscient, he knew everything about him. As a matter of fact, he knew you before you knew you. He knew you before anybody knew you. He tells Jeremiah, he said, before, I formed you in your mother's womb. He says, what? I knew you. And then he tells him that he had ordained him for purpose in life. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He knows your thoughts. Notice what he said. He says, thou hast searched me and known me. This searching means that God searches the heart. He tries the heart. He begins to look inside of us and see things that no man can see. God knows everything on the inside and is able to manifest and make change in our behavior on the inside that we might act right on the outside. Listen, saints. He can do it. He says, thou understandeth my thoughts afar off. That word understandeth means to distinguish and discern with insight and not just to gather raw data. See, I gave you a lot of data this morning concerning the stars in the heavens. That was based on man's research. But see, God who created the heavens, the heavens and the earth, he doesn't need man to validate his research because he's the one who created it. He knows it intricately. He is the one that is able to understand the things at the atomic scale. God is able to look on us and look at the smallest cell or the smallest thing that consists inside of us and understand how it's going to control our thoughts and our behaviors. He knows our genetic makeup because he gave us the genes. He knows how everything intricately works in your body. He knows how to heal it. He knows how to touch it. He's not surprised. He's not confused. We are limited in our understanding. He has all of the information. And he's able to distinguish and to discern with insight everything that you need. Notice what it says. You compasseth my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. That word to compass, to compass, you would think that it has a navigating theme with it. But in verse number 3, it's actually a picture of winnowing grain or separating grain and gathering what remains. When he says he compasses, he looks at our path and he understands the path that we will take. But what he does is like they would throw the grain up into the air and they would take the fork and they would winnow it. And that which is not good would fall away. And that which is good remains. And then they would take a shovel and they would pick up those grains. And that they would feed the people, feed the animal, the livestock. God says, listen, saints, what I am doing in your life, he says, I am winnowing away that which does not belong there, and I am drawing out of you, I am holding and keeping that which is good in you that comes from me so that I can feed the rest of the world that needs to know me. He compasseth my path and my lying down. Yes, when the grain falls, when the grain lies down, what will remain of your testimony? What will remain of your works before God? What will remain that is nutritious for others to enjoy in your presence? What will remain that has value in this life that your children and your children's children might be able to eat? Wow, I'm just talking about him being Lord. He's an omniscient shepherd. Am I right about it? Third, he is an omnipresent shepherd. Let's stay in Psalms 139. Look what it says here. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee? David is asking the question, where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, look, notice what it says, Sheol, or the grave, he says, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I can get a witness, you can ask Jonah. Jonah tried to escape from the presence of the Lord. He tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. But he find out that that omnipotent king, that omnipotent savior, who is also an omniscient savior, knew where he was. He knew where he was and he couldn't hide. And so we find now that this omniscient savior, a savior, is now an omnipresent savior. Jonah, you can't run, you can't hide. Why? Because my hand is on you. Listen, saints. Who is stronger than God? Pharaoh thought he was stronger than God, but notice what the Bible says, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Not that God made his heart hard. God just created the circumstances that would allow him to surrender or rebel. And in his omniscience and in his foreknowledge, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. But it was Pharaoh who had the hard heart. It was Pharaoh who was stubborn. It was Pharaoh who refused to follow the shepherd king of kings because he thought that he was God. Instead of bowing down to the king of kings, he wanted the king of kings to bow down to him. Remember, Satan tempted Jesus in the same way. Submit yourselves to me, bow down, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. You don't understand that I'm first omnipotent and that I'm omniscient and I'm omnipresent. David says, if I go up into the heavens and I try to hide behind a star, he says, thou art there. If I try to get behind the sun where that can fit so many earths inside of it, nobody seeing how big that is, I can hide behind the sun and the glow of it. Thou art there. Maybe I can hide behind the moon at night and hide in the shadow of the darkness of the moon. Thou art there. Maybe I can join one of those galaxies, or maybe I can hide inside of the Milky Way galaxy, or maybe one of those 200,000 of galaxies, or maybe I can go into some of those clusters and clusters and superclusters and hide. David says, no, thou art there. Maybe I can go down into the deepest of the deep, down deep, 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 so deep in the water that no light can get there. The Bible says that thou art there. You can't run, you can't hide. None of us, all of us have to contend with God. All of us have to do business with God. The context of David and his expression is feeling like God has cupped him in his hands and he cannot go anywhere and he is restricted by the knowledge. He is restricted by the knowledge. Y'all know how we get sometimes. I don't want the Lord to see this. I'm acting up on this one. I don't want him to see this. Matter of fact, I don't even think he's watching. Certainly he doesn't see me doing this thing. He doesn't know that I'm with this person. No, he doesn't know my thoughts about that man and that woman. But David said, He says, you know it all together. He doesn't know how much I hate that person. David felt restricted because he couldn't act up and act out like he wanted to. And he said, thou art there. I wish I had a witness. Maybe it was just me saying, Lord, I don't want you to see me act up over here. Lord, I'm fussing at my wife. I want you to don't look at this. Are y'all with me? I'm disobeying my parents. So Lord, don't look at this. I'm cussing when I'm leaving the house. I'm cussing with my friends. I'm cussing when I'm around them. But when I come home, I try to act like I'm already getting sexually active with my friends. But when I come home, surely you don't want to see these things. David said he felt cupped by the hand of the Lord. Look what he says. Look what he says right here in the text. It's amazing to me. He says in verse number 5 of that verse, No, go back to verse number 9. Watch this. He says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy what? Hand lead me. I'm cupped. I'm restricted. I'm seen. I'm heard. He says, and thy right hand shall what? Hold me. Oh, yes. He's an omnipotent shepherd. He's an omniscient shepherd. He's an omnipresent shepherd. But then the Bible tells us that he's a good shepherd. John 10, verses 1 through 11, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the shepherd or the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, trying to get to heaven some other way, the Bible says, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Notice what he said. He calleth his own sheep by name. If he called the stars by name, he knows your name, and he can call you by your name. And he says he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know what? His voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. In verse number 7, he says, then Jesus said unto them again, very, very, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come that they might have life, what? And that they might have life more, what? Abundantly. Then he says it like this, I am the what? Good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's a good shepherd. And his sheep, don't let nobody give you a false voice. Those false voices are saying, you don't need to be in church to have fellowship with God. God says, my sheep hear my voice. And my voice is according to the word. Don't listen to them. They are thieves. They are robbers. They are robbers of faith. And they are robbers of generations of those who will come to know the Lord. Why? They are robbers of the institution of the church. They are robbers. Don't you listen to them, because you are God's sheep. He says, and my sheep hear my voice. And here's the thing, it may call into question whether those individuals who have not sought after God, who have not come into the fellowship of the fold, maybe they were not God's sheep in the first place. Maybe they were imitators. Because he says, my sheep, they hear my voice. Am I right about it? Yes. He says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Hear the illustration of a burglar. A burglar broke into a home and was looking around. He heard a soft voice say, Jesus is watching you. Thinking it was just his imagination, he continued his search, and again he heard the voice that said, Jesus is watching you. He turned his flashlight around and he saw a parrot in a cage. He asked the parrot if he was the one talking, and the parrot said yes. He asked the parrot what was his name. The parrot said Moses. The burglar asked, what kind of people would name a parrot Moses? The parrot said, the same kind of people who would name their pit bull Jesus. Jesus is watching you. Notice what David says as I come to the conclusion. He says, the Lord. Then he says, is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David said, he is mine. This omnipotent, this omniscient, this omnipresent king, this king who, this king, shepherd of kings, who is the good shepherd, he says, he is my shepherd. If he has all power, if he knows all things, if he can be everywhere at the same time, knowing everything and all things, and he's good to work it out on my behalf, I want to make him mine. So David said, I made him my shepherd. Sheep are typically added to the fold by being bought or born. That's how a sheep is added to the fold. The shepherds would go out into the marketplace, and they would look at the sheep, and they would look at all the sheep, and they would hand select every sheep. And they would purchase that sheep. And in the case of David, David had that obligation of sometime going and purchasing the sheep on his father's behalf. Oh, the shepherd, King of Kings. Can you see Jesus? Did the light bulb come on? Oh, Jesus, oh, who is the King of Kings? Who is the Shepherd King? He went down to the slave market of sin and saw sheep who were wandering, sheep who were lost, sheep without a shepherd. And he says, I'm going to go in and I'm going to handpick them. God handpicked you. He handpicked you. He handpicked you. He handpicked you. And all who called on his name, all who would believe in him, all who would follow him, he's the Shepherd King of Kings, with all power, knowing all things, can do all things but fail. Why? Because he's a good God. He's good God Almighty. He's good when he was, he's good when he is, and he's good when he will come. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. He looked at you and he saw you in your sinful condition. He saw in your sheep coat, if you will, the stains of sin. And he says, I'm going to take that one and I'm going to wash it white as snow. Yes. He went to the auction. Jesus, the Shepherd King of Kings, chose us. And he wants to choose you if you're here today. He wants to choose you. If you're here today, why? Because he's watching over you. He's watching out for you. And he wants you to experience all that he is in his characteristics and the quality of his person and in the sovereignty of his power. He wants you to experience it. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to, and I want to follow Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him, the one who created the heavens and the stars. If he got that much power, if he's that omniscient, he knows what I'm doing. He knows, he sees all things. And I don't want to die and find myself in the grave and in hell without Christ. I want him in my life. If that's who you are today, just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Is there one who would believe on Jesus today? Is there one? All you have to do is say, Father, I believe that Jesus is your son and that you sent him all this way from heaven. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. He died on the cross, was buried in the tomb. But with all power and authority by God the Father, God raised him up from the grave, that we who believe in him one day will be raised up from the grave too. Don't you want to go? I heard someone say, don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? There's no confusion in that land. Don't you want to go? All you have to do is say, Father, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I make him my shepherd. I accept him for the forgiveness of my sin and all the things that I've done wrong. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm saved and I love the Lord, but I'm so thankful that I have a better understanding of who he is as Lord. And I'm so thankful for the way that he came and how he bypassed all of heaven to get to just me. And I thank him for that today. And I just want to say thank him. If that's who you are, just wave your hand. We're just going to do a wave offering right here to say thank you, Jesus, for coming to save me, for being my shepherd, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, we just want to wave our hands and give him all the honor and all the glory, for he who has all the power, and he loves you and he cares for you and he's working that thing out on your behalf. You ought to give him a hand clap of praise in the house of God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy. Let us all stand. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm saved, I love the Lord, but I've been looking for a place where God has been moving heaven and earth to get me to New Berean Baptist Church. And I want to come and join on. I want to be obedient to what he's asked me to do in serving him and using my